1220 WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
We approach 4 o'clock on this very cloudy Tuesday afternoon. The sun is trying to fight through, kind of like the Yankees trying to fight through and win a game in this series. But it's mostly cloudy. The forecast is fine for tonight. It's not supposed to rain. So if you're heading out to Yankee Stadium for Game 4 of the World Series, I think you'll be okay. I don't think you need to bring a poncho. You should bring a sweatshirt. I brought a sweatshirt because I'm staying for the game and I need to stay warm. And I was like, man, what the hell should I wear, though? Because I'm wearing nice clothes for the show today. A nice, how would you describe my shirt?
Yeah, this is a nice Izod, right, I think? Yeah.
Golf shirt.
Golf shirt.
With some nice pants.
Right, looks good.
But I brought a sweatshirt. Brought a sweatshirt to stay warm.
Nipples could cut your ass, though, too.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm a little cold. And I couldn't figure out, like, the only sweatshirts I really own are sports sweatshirts. And I believe in respect. I would never wear a Mets sweatshirt to a Yankee World Series game. So I decided to find the most innocuous sports thing I could wear. So I'll be wearing a Brooklyn Nets sweatshirt at today's game, which reminds me of last night. So last night, my former partner, a man who did this show years ago, Craig Carton, was featured on the broadcast because finally Fox has decided to, you know, take his show seriously and promote it,
right,
which I'm very happy for him about. So if you missed it, here is the audio clip from last night where Craig Carton was sitting awkwardly at Yankee Stadium and Joe Davis awkwardly tried to promote him.
Well, he's bold, he's brash, and now Craig Carton's teaming up with Danny Parkins and Mark Schlereth to start your day off with the best morning show on TV, Breakfast Ball, tomorrow and every weekday at 8 a.m. Eastern on FS1. Craig's in the house today.
Yeah, so Craig's in the house today, and he's awkwardly sitting there shaking his head as if like, yep, that's me, yep, that's me, and did not wear Yankee stuff, even though he elected to be a Yankee fan a year ago, but he went with the Jet hat. Which is very similar to what I'm doing today, which is I'm going to wear the paraphernalia of a team that's non-offensive to the teams that are playing.
Right,
so
nobody cares.
I'm following out of the Craig Carton handbook by wearing a Brooklyn Nets sweatshirt.
The Nets still in the league?
At Yankee Stadium.
There's one big difference.
Go ahead.
When you saw Craig last night, was his Jets hat stained at all?
No, he's bold, he's brash.
I know Evan enough. There's a stain on that sweatshirt somewhere.
Here is my sweatshirt. Do you see a stain?
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
What's wrong with my sweatshirt?
Tiki, look what he's doing.
What am I doing?
When Evan teed up the whole audience out there and said, I'm wearing a Brooklyn Nets sweatshirt, what did you think?
I thought it would be a black with a big B, Brooklyn. Instead, it has N-E-T-S.
And it's in Dodger blue.
No, that's not Dodger blue.
I love those Nets colors, Evan. You know what you're doing.
It's ABA blue.
You're representing the Dodgers tonight.
It is Dodger blue, but I think it's because it's faded. It used to be Met blue.
Fair. That could be.
No,
washed incorrectly.
It's a thousand times.
It's
old school New York.
Yeah, very true. He's right.
That's New York Nets blue, and I'll be very comfortable tonight. So, yeah, that's how I'm taking the Craig Carton advice. What?
If anybody walked the concourse and saw you quickly and said red writing, white stars, blue sweatshirt.
They're going to think it's a Dodger sweatshirt?
You knew what you were doing.
I did not know what I was doing. I literally picked my most comfortable sweatshirt and said, all right, let me make it of a non-offensive team. So that's what I did. Before we get back to your phone calls on the Yankees and the New York Giants, Tommy Lugauer has requested your time, Tiki Barber. He wants to make a case. In fact, I'm not even going to summarize. Yeah. Tommy, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Evan. The Giants are 2-6, and the Steelers are 6-2. In my opinion, they have similar rosters as far as talent. So why is one team 6-2 and the other is 2-6? And I don't want to hear about the quarterback. Russell Wilson's the quarterback of the Steelers, and Justin Fields is the quarterback. They have 6 wins. The Giants have 2 wins. I hear about all this talent the Giants have, and I do think they have talent. Why are they 2-6? The two-point conversion last night was awful. The two-point conversions against Washington was hideous. That's on the coach. Oh, by the way, the reason they had to go for 2 in that game is because they didn't have a kicker. That's on the coach. So It was Wink's fault. It was Kafka's fault. Now we're throwing Daniel Jones under the bus. At what point is it Brian Daboll's fault? They're 2-6. They have 2 wins. And the stuff you saw last night, and I know I got to be positive, Tommy, with the Jets, but it was Jet-like. There was a million penalties, the bad procedures, the bad two-point play. What point is Brian Daboll going to take some blame for this team being 2-6? When I look at a game last night, and the Steelers are 6-2 with smoke and mirrors.
No, they're not 6-2 with smoke and mirrors. They have a fantastic defense.
So do the Giants.
Fitzpatrick is back there. Cam Hayward, somehow, at 35 years old, is still a beast. Tyrone Tracy had this run up the middle of the field that he should have hit his head on the goalpost, but Cam Hayward got a hold of him with, like, one hand and just pulled him to the ground. They have some good players. T.J. Watt is a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. So they're good on defense. And what you're alluding to is their head coach, Mike Tomlin, who's one of the best head coaches in football. Been the best head coach over the last 2 decades outside of Bill Belichick, and that's only because Belichick won all the Super Bowls. Tomlin's never had a losing season. Yeah. He's been fantastic, despite doing it with smoke and mirrors. And you know why? This goes back to what we were talking about with Aaron Boone. He sets an expectation, and if you don't live up to that expectation, you're not playing. Yeah, they'll get rid of you, period. And the Giants, though, can't afford to do that with a lot of their players. But I did see a little bit of that starting to creep in last night with the benching of Deontay Banks. And it should have happened at the end of last week's game, where he just quit on trying to chase down Jalen Hurts at the end of the game. He played, and he played on, and it finally occurred. What was it, middle of the second quarter?
Yeah.
Whatever it was. But I just didn't see him out there, and I thought he got hurt. But they benched him.
There was a sideline blow-up reported by reporters, but TV never showed it.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but they benched him. Yeah. And so I appreciate that from Dabes, because it's going back to what he started his tenure as the Giants head coach was doing, which is you have to earn your playing time. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good you think you are. You're not playing if you're not doing the right things and earning your time on the football field, period. So to me, that's all. By the way, is it Dabes' fault? Absolutely. If there's 3 people you're going to blame: the head coach, the quarterback, or the general manager. And right now, I'm sure Dabes is front of the line, and I'm sure he'll stand right up there and take arrows that you want to throw at him.
But you know what's not fair? I really believe this, and I'll argue with anybody, especially those idiots in Pittsburgh. If you asked me as an IFO, and one thing I know about coaching is I know bad coaching. I'm an expert on bad coaching. All I've watched is bad coaching my entire life. But if you asked me, I want you to power rank the best coaches in the NFL. For my money, Mike Tomlin is still number one.
Yeah.
He is. I put him above even Andy Reid, and that's a tough argument to make, and I understand that. So
the results still got to mean something.
Absolutely. And I think that grading anybody, in fairness, Luke, against Mike Tomlin is almost not fair, because he's the best coach in the league. And the second part that I completely disagree with you about is I think the Steeler defense, talent-wise, is as good as anybody in the league.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but what side is Sean sitting to? Because I hear from Sean all the time that the Giants have all this talent. So
No. They have more talent than they did 2 years ago. They're still
built. Is Dexter Lawrence the best defensive tackle in the NFL?
There's not even a question.
Okay, so that's
that
your
doesn't make an entire defense.
Brian Burns is there too.
Dude. He's a D-tackle, dude. He's a D-tackle.
And they're missing Kayvon Thibodeau.
Right. Okay, they were losing games for Kayvon, too.
Even though Azeez Ojulari has been fantastic.
Yeah. Do they have Minka Fitzpatrick in their secondary?
Yeah. Right. The secondary is so young. You have a first-round superstar, at least in his own mind, who's quitting. I know what you're saying. Cordell Flott's hurt. You got McLeod playing out there off of a guy when the ball's got to come out quick.
And Greg Stroman has played more than Marcus
Stroman.
Right,
and he's not taking shots on screen passes. Like, this secondary, we knew it was going to be an issue, by the way. We knew it at the beginning of the season. They don't know how to play aggressive football, and it's killing them, because up front, they're really good. Their front five, front four, front seven, they're really good. Their secondary is leaving a lot to be desired.
Yep. And it's killing them at spots. Now, I'm disappointed in Evan. I don't blame Tiggy for not picking up on this. You set the whole thing up. We didn't know what Lugauer was going to throw at us. Oh, I want an audience here. Excuse me.
What?
What has Lugauer pounded through the first 7 games before
that last Brian Daboll's tanking?
Did Brian Daboll, every time there was a procedural penalty, screaming and yelling and then benching Deontay Banks all angry?
You're walking right into it. You're walking right into it. Yes,
you're
you
walking into
no,
it.
No, you are.
That don't look
no,
like
are.
A coach that was taking a knee. That looked like a coach that was taking off and everything that went wrong.
Okay.
So take your L.
No, I'm not going to, because guess what else?
Molly guy.
Guess what I pounded, pal? That door number one is he's tanking. Door number two is he sucks. So you pick door number two. He sucks. You don't want to compare him to Tomlin? Let's compare him to the rest of the league. They have two wins. Guess what? You are what your record is. They had games they could have won this year. Cool. Bottom line is bad teams find ways to lose these games.
Are they two
bad
and six
coaching.
With Fields and Russell Wilson?
All right, let's blame
Daniel Jones.
Who were their last, three losses to, by the way?
They lost to the Steelers.
Okay.
They lost to the
quarterback
Bengals.
Who won a Super Bowl.
Okay. Oh, wait a second. Now Russell Wilson just wants to... He was horrible in Denver, which, by the way, with Nate Hackett as the head coach. I hate to say it, but that's the truth.
I love Nate Hackett. Forget Nate Hackett.
Okay, but he was his head coach.
Keep my friend's name out your mouth right now, because he's not anything right now.
But he was Russell Wilson's head coach,
okay,
and when he stunk in Denver. But you're giving me that he won a Super Bowl, and he stunk in Denver!
Yes, but he's coached well right now.
He's
coached unbelievably
well. That's my point.
Arthur Smith was a
terrible... They're not coaching Daniel Jones up.
Arthur Smith was a terrible head coach. A garbage head coach. He couldn't get over seven wins. He was garbage. But his ideas were actually quite intelligent. And when I went and had... I'd called four or five of his games. I'm like, dude, you just got to get the right quarterback to execute what you're doing, and you might have a chance. And guess what? Russell Wilson can do that. If you let Russell Wilson try to be Peyton Manning, he's going to fail. Nate Hackett, for whatever reason, let Russell Wilson try to be Peyton Manning. Sean Payton, for whatever reason, let Russell Wilson try to be Peyton Manning. But Mike Tomlin, who stands on 15 years of winning, said, Russ, you're going to do what the hell I tell you to do. Otherwise, you're not going to be a quarterback in the National Football League. So what the hell is Russ doing? 20 of 28, 8-yard throws, maybe a couple of shots downfield. He's playing like he did when he won a Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks. So get the coaching stuff out of your mouth unless you understand what you're talking about. Number two, who did they play before that? The Cincinnati Bengals. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And the week before that, the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts was in the Super Bowl a year ago.
They lost to the Patriots, the Bengals, this year.
Oh. Man, I why is our number
why is Malik Nabers our number one overall pick? Hold on, why is our number one overall? And I love Malik Nabers. Why is he dropping passes every single
week? Because he's a rookie. Do you need anything else? He's a rookie.
I mean, he's dropping a lot of key passes.
I hate rookies. There's been one rookie in the history of my playing career that I loved, Jeremy Shockey, because he got it. He was a dog from jump. Rookies suck because they don't get it. I don't think Malik Nabers is one of these guys that's just happy to be there. But a lot of guys are just happy to be, hey, I'm here. I'm in the NFL, man. I'm going to be a superstar. Dude, you don't know the work that it takes to be a superstar. You can't quit on plays, Deontay Banks. You can't drop passes, Malik Nabers. You got to run routes. The first game of the season, go back and listen to it. Find it on the Odyssey app. I got on Malik Nabers because he was lazy running his routes. And Daniel Jones is waiting for him to come out of his break, and he's not even at the break point yet. Right? Rookies are lazy and stupid because they don't understand what it takes to be a professional. I've called Anthony Richardson too many times to even think about. He got benched today. You know why? Because he's immature and doesn't know how to be a pro. Right? Rookies are dumb. They don't understand. Some of them get it, but a lot of them don't. So don't sit here and talk to me about coaching, because players are the ones that ultimately have to do it. And now, if a coach can't motivate a guy over time, then you know what? The coach has to take accountability for that. But with the New York Giants, Dave's coaches these guys hard. They're not executing. I can put it on. I can show it to you on tape. I did it all last year with Zach Wilson, why he was failing. It wasn't because Nate Hackett was calling bad plays, because Zach Wilson couldn't determine what to do. Daniel Jones sits and waits. Troy Aikman said it on the broadcast last night. Daniel Jones has got to see it before he throws it. He gets Darius Slayton destroyed on the sideline because he waits. Is that cover two? Of course it's cover two. The safeties are splitting. What the hell do you think they're doing? And he waits and throws that ball so late, Darius Slayton gets hit, and Troy calls him out. Right? This is not coaching to me. It is execution of guys who don't know what they're doing. Period.
Could you have yelled at me before I ate those two chicken fingers?
My bad. I was very concerned because Tiki speaks with his hands. He came within a centimeter of slapping me across the face, which I'm usually okay with if I deserved it. Wow. I didn't do anything, and I was about to get like Will Smith across the face.
Look, I like Brian Daboll. I do. Is he going to ultimately have to stand for the accountability of the underperformance of this team? Of course. But this is a lot of what I see is not Brian Daboll. It is not. It is Daniel Jones not putting the tight end in motion so you don't get strip sacked by the best defensive end in football.
It's Daniel Jones not letting the ball go because he's thinking about it as opposed to reacting to it. If you got to think in football, trust me, it happens too fast.
So when does Brian Daboll, because I get the sense it's happening soon.
It's very soon.
You know where I'm going.
Very soon.
When does he go over to Daniel?
And it's not Drew Lock.
No, it's Tommy DeVito.
100%.
And then Tommy gets his way. Everybody's happy.
Right.
But you can definitely tell that Brian Daboll's getting closer. He's getting closer to that moment of, all right, I've seen
it.
Enough.
Because there's one thing I know about Dabes. He's not going to tell you jack in a press conference.
No.
Until he wants you to send a message.
He didn't want to, by the way, he didn't want to say why he benched Tay Banks. Because I think the assumption was that him going low on Najee Harris and Harris jumping above him was the reason. I honestly don't know if that was the reason or not. It may have been something that we didn't see.
You got to make a tackle, man.
Do you think that was it, though?
It was the beginning of it.
Okay.
Dexter Lawrence was also yelling at the entire secondary that Jordan Henderson barked back over the Pickens play in the end zone being pushed out.
Yeah.
So,
which is still a crazy
play. Who knows
play
if Banks was part of that, too.
No, you're right.
By the way, that's another loophole in the rule.
Yes.
Of benefiting the defense. Because what happens, because we had this on my CBS broadcast chat. What happens if someone catches a ball and hops five times on their left leg? Like, they're just trying to stay in balance, you know, like five times possession of the ball.
They're telling you it's not a touchdown.
And then gets hit and knocked out of bounds.
And the right foot never hits.
And the right foot never hits. Yeah. Is that a non-completion?
Never got the second foot in.
In logical sense.
It doesn't
like,
make any sense.
In logic terms, it's a catch. In NFL terms, it's not a catch. That's what I've learned. Because that catch last night was a catch.
It was
But under
catch.
NFL rules, it reminds me of, wait for this analogy, the Royal Rumble. So in the Royal Rumble, there's a rule. 2 feet need to hit the outside of the ring. Right, very basic rule. You get thrown out of the ring.
Get the wrestling?
Because trust me.
It always comes back to wrestling. Whatever.
Just give me, I swear to God, it's going to make sense.
It better make sense.
Okay. So the rule was 2 feet need
Otherwise,
to hit the ground.
Otherwise, we're banning wrestling.
Son of a bitch. All right, a lot of pressure on me now. I'm sweating.
Yes, there is.
So the rule was 2 feet hit the ground and you're out. So wrestling decided over the last 5 years, we got to have fun with this. What if someone doesn't have their second foot on the ground, and then they jump on a table. They technically didn't have 2 feet on the ground. It defied logic. That's like the NFL. Thank you. Tiki gets
it. That one works.
Thank you.
That one works.
Appreciate it.
It defies logic,
Thank
but you're
you.
Right.
Let's get back to your calls. Yankee fans, we are live from Yankee Stadium in about 4 hours. Either it is going to be the beginning of something you'll never forget or the conclusion of something you'll be disgusted about for the next 5 months. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Long Island. How are you, Mike?
What up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I'm great. Hey, thanks for taking the call. I love listening to you guys. I'm going to give you the reason Aaron Judge is not hitting, and I'm going to give you the reason the Yankees are where they are. And
let's go.
I'll tell you how to fix it. All right. Aaron Judge is not hitting for one simple reason. That guy has to play every day, and when he gets time off, he loses his timing and he doesn't hit. You can see it every April. Every April, he has a slow start. And what does he tell you? I'm getting my timing down. I'm getting my timing down. And when he is off for 4 days to 3 days, his timing goes. How do you fix it? You fix it by every day, an hour apart, you take a good pitcher, and you make him face live pitching like he were in a game.
But Mike, there are two things to respond. First of all, I appreciate the creativity because I do think we are at, like, our head against the wall with Aaron Judge trying to figure out the why. So I understand and I appreciate the idea of, hey, there's a lot of off days in the playoffs, the first round bye. I get that. He was facing live pitching. That's what the Yankees were doing during the bye week.
Yep.
That's number one. Number two, it's kind of like talking about a player that can't play in cold weather.
Yeah, but it's
you got to hit in cold weather because that's October. You have to figure it out.
Yeah, you do. And I don't think it's the time off. It doesn't feel like that because it's the other things that are. It's not the contact. It's the other things. He's just chasing the things that he doesn't normally do. He usually sees the ball really well. I forgot who said this on the broadcast a couple of games when they were in Los Angeles. How he's not seeing that this what looks like a fastball is actually not a fastball.
Right.
Like he's not seeing the spin of the ball as he normally does. Now what causes that? I don't know. Right? To me, if you have that, you just have that. That's what makes you a great hitter. I mean, you have a keen eye. You're strong enough and powerful enough to get your bat speed through the zone quickly and put bat on ball. And if you put bat on ball soundly enough, it doesn't matter if you're late or early. It's going out of the ballpark.
Right.
He's not recognizing what he's seeing. And I don't know why that is, because for most of this season, he did.
Yeah, and look, playoffs feature things that are different. There are a lot of off days.
Yes.
That's just the way it is. That's a part of October. So if that's really what's affecting him, it affects everybody.
Right.
And you've got to figure out a way to overcome it. It's like talking about guys struggling in the bad weather.
Right.
You know, we laugh about it in April, but then I'll always make the comment, hey, if you want to get to where you want to go, you're going to have to hit the cold weather because this is New York City.
Right.
There's going to be cold weather games. So for Judge, whether it's time off or whatever you want to come up with, you got to figure it out.
Right.
Because legacies are written by what you do this time of year.
You know, it's funny because right now, I mean, nobody comes out for batting practice.
One guy does.
And it's one guy that does it, and it's Giancarlo Stanton.
That's right.
Giancarlo Stanton is standing down here just like he did yesterday. He's going to take about 20 swings off the machines, not a pitcher down there, and we know what he's done the entire postseason.
Yeah.
If Aaron Judge wants to mime or mimic or copy somebody, copy that dude.
I agree.
Copy Giancarlo Stanton, because he's out here working on his craft. And, yeah, I mean, does he want to be out here with everybody staring at him and taking pictures of his ass while he's in the cage?
No. He does, actually.
But
actually,
he probably
yes,
does, actually, because he's jacked, so he probably does. But be that guy.
Yeah.
Because he shows up in September and October.
It's amazing with him, because for all the crap he'll get throughout the season, come this time of year, he's ready to go. And this is the second straight day we've seen this where he comes out. This is not even official Yankee batting practice.
No.
This is prior to batting practice, and he does it against the machine.
Yep.
So there's a machine set up where the pitcher usually has the L screen and they pitch, and Giancarlo is just taking, like, these very relaxed swings.
And he's hitting them to the warning track.
Yeah, he's flicking his wrist. It's going 425 feet. And based on yesterday and so far today, he's the only guy that does it.
Yeah.
So good for him, man. Oh, you're going to love this guy. Matt is in Howell, New Jersey, about to pull off one of the great doubleheaders in sports. How are you, Matt?
I could be better. I've definitely seen better days, my friend, but I appreciate you guys taking my call.
What's up, dude?
I don't even know where to begin. I just want to say the past week has been one of the roughest weeks of my New York fanhood, and I don't know what got into me and what possessed me to do this, but yesterday I drove to Pittsburgh.
Wow.
To go watch the Giants play the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night.
Wow. How hard
and
was it to get tickets?
Not only, you know what? You guys are going to like this. I had my uncle, who I work with, is a Steelers fan, and we bought tickets months ago when I had a girlfriend. And, yeah. So, long story short, no girlfriend, still pulled through on going to the trip. But
nice.
Not only that, we took an electric vehicle 350 miles. So
that's
the
six-hour
car ride.
I love that.
The six-hour car ride turned into a nine-and-a-half-hour car ride with charging every 100 miles.
Well, you got to go to Walmart. You got to go to Walmart.
Yeah.
Because they have the supercharger at the Walmarts. And then
you know what it was?
You could do some shopping. You maybe have a little something to eat. You know, pick up some cologne, deodorant, whatever.
The amount of sheets food that I ate in the past 2 days is disgusting.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, I just want to say on my way to the stadium right now for the Yankee game. And if they don't pull off a win tonight, I'm going to be calling back tomorrow for psychiatrist recommendation.
Oh,
you know what, though, Matt?
That is an epic double, Matt. That is epic.
That is really an impressive doubleheader. That's a diehard sports fan.
Agreed.
That's a guy who says, I'm going to Pittsburgh for Monday Night Football for the hope the Giants turn the season around. And then down 3-0, I'm coming to Yankee Stadium.
And to do it in an EV, electric vehicle. Because when you drive to Pittsburgh, there's a lot of nothing.
Oh, I know.
There's a lot of.
I've made that drive.
If this car dies, I can't just pull into a gas station.
Boy.
You're going to be stuck like trickle charging with a plug. I'm serious. They have it. It takes forever to get a charge.
Is that what it's called, trickle charging?
It's a trickle. I mean, what you do with your phone is a trickle charge, but it's the kilowatts not nearly enough to charge a car. But if you get stuck in like the middle of Pennsylvania, you have to plug your car into like this outlet.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's crazy.
What, are you bringing your own extension cord for?
It just comes.
Oh,
I love
driving through Pennsylvania because I think it's really pretty. Like, you see these mountains,
true.
You drive through the mountains, they have the tunnels in the mountains. Like, driving down I-95 is one of the most boring experiences you could have.
Right.
Because it's just ugly. It's just not pretty. But when you drive west, especially through the beautiful state, the swing state of Pennsylvania, it is as gorgeous as they come. But I do want to make our last caller feel better. Most of New York loves the NFL and Major League Baseball. Uh-huh. I think that's fair to say. I love the NFL. I love Major League Baseball. I happen to be a fan of the Jets and the Mets. Sean happens to be a fan of the Giants and the Yankees. There are people, Tiki learned about this recently, that actually root for the Jets and the Yankees.
Yes.
There are people that root for the Giants and the Mets. Here's what we all have in common. The last week and a half has been hell.
Yep.
Whatever the combination is, whatever the teams are, it's all been a living, freaking, stinking hell.
Wasn't it, weren't we 0-for last night?
Yes, the New York Knicks, of course.
Yeah.
Watched Darius Garland school him in the fourth quarter. Yeah. That's a damn shame.
No, but they're the uncrowned winners of beating the Cavs.
Oh, shut up.
The New York Giants lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And yes, as you know, the New York Yankees lost last night. But never fear, ladies and gentlemen, because I got a good feeling about my Nets tonight. I'm just kidding. We are live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. Sean Morash is pissed off at Aaron Boone's Yankee lineup. We get to that, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. We are live from Yankee Stadium before Game 4. Now, if you've listened to this show for weeks now, I have made an impassioned argument for Gerrit Cole being Superman, for Gerrit Cole being the $300 million man and pitching 1-4-7. I even suggested it for the American League Championship Series, which was a little unorthodox because he was going to have to start Game 1 on short rest, and no one ever considered it. The questions were never asked, and it just died in the dustpan of Evan opinions. But then the World Series comes around, and I bring it up again. And I say, guys, Gerrit Cole could be well rested for Game 1. He's going to start Game 1, which he did. Why wouldn't you go 1-4-7?
You should.
And the argument I made was, other than being up 3-0, I'd go 1-4-7 because he's my best pitcher. And he's pitched on 3 days rest once before, back in 2020. Why would it not be an option again? Obviously, that did not start to take hold with anybody until the Yankees lost Game 1, mm-hmm. eventually lost Game 2, and finally, Aaron Boone was asked yesterday about the idea of Cole coming back on short rest in Game 4, and Aaron very succinctly said, not an option. It's not happening under no circumstances. Sean Morash made the prediction, listen, Ev, if the Yankees lose Game 3 and they go down 3-0, he'll pitch Game 4. To which I'm like, I hope you're right,
yep.
But I don't know if that's the case because Aaron was so definitive in his answer yesterday. And my point was, now it's time to talk to Gerrit Cole. Now it's time to bring it up to the ace himself. So Gerrit Cole is scheduled to pitch tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, Game 5. And he met the media, which is very traditional, the day before one starts. And finally, Gerrit Cole was asked a question that I've been screaming about for weeks now. What was his answer, Sean?
This, according to Chris Kirschner, Gerrit Cole said there weren't any conversations about starting tonight's game on short rest.
Hmm. Not by him or not by Aaron Boone.
That's the
question,
problem.
The question is, did he volunteer for that? Did he go in and say, hey, Skip, I know we're in dire straits, especially after losing last night. I want to start. Give me the ball.
So you're putting this on the player?
I'm just saying, sometimes the great players, that's what they did.
I agree with you about that, and I think there's going to be a lot of Yankee fans that will fall along the lines of...
I'm not faulting him for not doing that.
Right.
But
you could bring it up.
Right.
And I think there's going to be a lot of Yankee fans who are going to look at Gerrit Cole and say, what are you doing? He already took some heat for Game 1 for not, you know, Messina-ing Aaron Boone by demanding he stay in the game.
Yeah.
But to me, when I hear, quote, we didn't even talk about it, is that the exact quote?
There weren't any conversations about
it. Okay, we're efforting to find the audio so we can hear this from Gerrit Cole's mouth. Unfortunately, we have come up small in finding it thus far, but we'll hear it. To me, the problem is if you don't have a discussion about it, that's managing malpractice. Mm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, how can
that is mal-freaking practice if you're not talking about the idea of pitching your best starter on short rest when you're down 3-0.
And you're down 3-0 and you're going to throw a rookie on the mound. Now, the question is Cole available?
To come out of the bullpen today?
Yeah.
I mean, well, they may as well start him then.
Yeah. To me, if you're not starting him, then you just start him tomorrow, which is The ironic part is if the bats actually woke up, I don't mind it because I feel like Cole at home in a game five, fine. But
how do you know there is a game five?
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the problem.
I don't want to hear this crap anymore because one of the arguments I always hear is, well, yeah, he's going to have to pitch game five or win game five. You have to get to game five.
Well, no doubt about it. Look, I am not even mad right now. I'm really disappointed, like to steal a line from a father. But in this situation right now, if the Yankees found a way to win and survive today, this would look good because I'd feel great about tomorrow and getting this back to L.A. But it's getting there.
Okay,
and
so,
when you're paid to be the ace, I'm sorry, your team's facing elimination. Go take the ball.
Yeah, but what bothers me, and I've heard this before, we're not even talking about it. Like, come on, man. There's no bad idea in sports.
That's why both Boone and Cole are to blame. Because if Cole's not bringing it up,
I agree.
Boone has to bring it up. You can't tell me there was no conversation.
I think everybody's to blame. I'm mad at everybody that nobody brought this up 5 days ago. You'll wait till you're down 3-0 or 2-0 for this to even be a discussion. Like, what planet am I living on? Because I thought when you have a big-time ace, and there are very few of them left walking the planet Earth, that you'd want them to go 1-4-7 the way Carsten Charles Sabathia did in 2009.
Yeah.
And again, Gerrit Cole's done it. Game 5 of the 2020 Division Series. Now, I watched A-Rod last night, and A-Rod, can I officially say, is joining the show later today?
Yes, he'll be on those later.
Alex Rodriguez is going to join the show. Alex Rodriguez, and I watched every word of what he said last night, was very careful in saying, if he's healthy, what are we doing? And I get that. A-Rod's right.
Yeah.
If there's an injury, well, first of all, if there's an injury, how's he pitching game five? It's all a bunch of horse crap. He's pitching game five.
I guess it could be the nature of the injury. It's something that he can pitch to, but you don't want to overwork. That would be a fatigue.
But what are you
injury.
Saving him for? You may never get to another World Series with Gerrit Cole.
That's my point.
This could be it. Where is the leadership on this team? From the manager to the captain to the star ace? Does anybody have guts anymore? The Yankees used to have guts. This is a gutless team down 3-0 right now.
You think Gerrit Cole's gutless because he's not asking?
Partially, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Because CeCe Sabathia would.
Well, it's not even asking. Just how come there hasn't been a conversation?
That's what bothers me more.
Now, if they had a conversation and Gerrit Cole would just say, hey, you know, I'm a creature of my whatever existence. I do things a certain way. I need that extra day. Otherwise, I just won't feel comfortable, and I'll end up being in my own mind, and that's ultimately going to be a negative outcome. Like but have that conversation.
Yeah,
the fact that conversation hasn't been had is what's bothering. I think a lot of us, obviously, but I think also a lot of Yankee fans who you're on the razor's edge right now. I mean, this thing is almost over.
Yeah, when you're facing an elimination game, and I remember I saw Mendy do this in Game 6 against the Dodgers, and I loved it. Do you remember how he went to Edwin Diaz in the fifth inning?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It made a lot of sense because what Carlos was announcing to the world, and it's what Aaron Boone has to do tonight, is I need to extend this series.
Yes.
And in that case, I need to extend the game. I need to survive the fifth inning.
Yeah.
That's how you have to manage when your backs are against the wall. You can't think greater picture. You have to think today. You have to think this moment. So I'll give you an example to that extreme. If the Yankees are down 2-0 early and Luis Gil is struggling, do you want to know who I have warming up in the bullpen with 2-1 and 2-out in the third inning?
Weaver.
Luke Weaver.
Yeah.
Because I need to keep the game close. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but I need to extend the season. So the idea of, well, I can't pitch Gerrit Cole because what about game five? What about game five? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
There may not be a game five.
Yeah, game five is opening day.
Extend the season, put the seed of doubt in the Dodgers' heads, and find a way. And if it's true, I hope they're lying to us. I hope that Gerrit Cole and Aaron Boone are colluding and lying to us that they did have a meeting and they determined, for the reasons Tiki laid, you know what? Short rest. He's not going to be effective. We're better off. I wish there was some reason other than the garbage of we never considered it. That's insulting.
Yeah.
You never considered pitching your best pitcher on short rest. Even if you disagree with me, I'm okay. Mm. You could disagree with me or anyone else. But to not consider it is managing an ace malpractice, in my humble opinion.
And we're sitting here in front of Game 4 of the World Series, watching, you know, the media gather and everything. So I hate to bring up the offseason, but I have to. How many times do we need to hear from Hal Steinbrenner that you shouldn't need a $300 million payroll to exceed it to build a championship team, right?
Well, when you're playing the Dodgers in the World Series, you're going to need a $300 million.
But here's the deal.
Just telling you.
Here's the deal. if you're doing that, that means you're paying a pitcher a high amount of money to do that. They better be able to take the ball three times on 3 days rest. Otherwise, you're not building a championship team that way.
I mean, why are you a $300 million pitcher?
I agree. By the way, I've just been notified that T-shirts are already being printed. Rookie suck. Tiki Barber.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Let's go to Andrew in Hartford, Connecticut. How are you, Andrew?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making it, man. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to tell Tiki that he's right on with the rookies. And the jersey I wear all the time is the number 80, Jeremy Shockey.
He's
he was
man.
The man.
He was. He
Absolutely.
Got it as a rookie right away.
That's the only rookie Tiki Barber likes. The rest of them, dead to us. By the way, speaking of dead to us, I have not done this all year. Can I make a request?
Go ahead.
You're calling the Eagle game over the weekend?
I'm calling Eagles-Jags.
I think you need to organically, without calling attention to it, say something about someone being dead to us. You need a dead to us comment. And it doesn't even have to be about Saquon. It could be
about Evan Engram.
It could be about Evan Engram. You know, that guy's dead to us. I think we need a dead to us when you're calling Eagles-Jaguars on Sunday.
It is Halloween weekend.
That's true. It's easy, man. Yeah, what'd you dress up?
The dead.
Would you dress up for Halloween, us. Andrew Kettleman? There you go.
Rookies suck.
Yeah. That's a drop now. Rookies suck. Let's go to Tom in Bloomfield, New Jersey. How are you, Tom?
I'm good. Evan, first thing I say to you here, you're going to love. I've been keeping a book all World Series. Now, I waited about an hour, and I'm pumped to talk to you guys. So here are my thoughts on the series, as you let me run through as quick as possible.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so game one is 100% on Boone. Taking Cole out, 88 pitches was a mistake. I thought the biggest mistake in the game was taking Weaver out in the 10th. 19 pitches, bottom of the order, 7-8-9. If it got to the lefty, you would have brought in a lefty for Ohtani. So I said game one is strike one on Boone. Game two, Rendon stunk. Bullpen was great. Bottom line, didn't hit to win the series.
Right.
Okay? Game three, Schmidt, rocky start. Finally gets life, right? Finally get some life in the building, and you send Stanton in a 3-0 game, first and instead of having first and third, two outs, trying to get Rizzo to the plate, right? Boone goes back to the bullpen. The same bullpen who blew him game one, he goes back to. Cousins, Leiter, Cortez. Didn't work game one, but went back to it again, okay? Strike two on Boone and the coaching staff for sending Rizzo when he wasn't supposed to. Now, game four here is tonight, and we got Luis Hill going to the mound instead of Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
Now, Garrett Cole is your ace, like you were just discussing, and it would be a huge mistake not to pitch your ace in the last game, possibly the last game of your series. Now, like you were talking about sooner earlier, Evan, was if they were up 3-1, gladly pitch Cole. No problem. You're up 3-1. Let's see what we got in the rookie and get him some experience. But we are down 3-0, and we're trying to sneak a game against a bullpen that we haven't even hit.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
No, I listen, I think a lot of your Boone criticisms are very fair.
Yeah.
The one at the beginning, game one of this series, if the Yankees don't turn this around and change the narrative, that's going to be the discussion of this World Series.
Yeah, that's what you're going to – because, by the way, you're going to see that over and over again. You're going to see bases loaded, walk-off, grand slam.
Yeah.
It's going to remind, because that's going to be the defining moment of this series for the, or maybe this yesterday's home run, or maybe whatever happens today.
No, it's game one, Teague.
It's going to be game one.
It's
so
game one.
We're going to be reminded every time we hear about this Los Angeles Dodgers 2024, half a billion dollar team's World Series championship. Freddie Freeman walked Mookie Betts to get to him, and he crushed Nestor Cortez out of the ballpark to walk off game one. And that set the tone for the Dodgers sweeping the Yankees.
And trust
that's
me,
what it's going to come down to.
I know firsthand what that's like because I have experienced as a fan two World Series. And I think both World Series, fair or not, were defined by game one.
Mm-hmm.
Game one was won by the Mets in 2000 and 2015. They had leads in the ninth inning in both games. They blew both games. They did, eventually in extra innings, but they blew the lead in the ninth inning. The Yankees had a lead in the 10th inning, and they blew the game. And sometimes, even though, yes, you could have recovered. Of course, the Yankees could have won game two. They could have won game three. You become defined by game one. And for a manager who's taken a beating by its fans, sometimes unfairly, sometimes fairly, This is going to be very tough to get past.
We haven't had a lot of conversation or even fan conversation about if Boone doesn't fire this manager. He can't get them over. You think that happens if they get swept?
If the Yankees, should the Yankees fire Boone? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. We haven't had that. We haven't heard that conversation.
Yeah.
It hasn't been intimated or in the thought process of, even the fan right now.
Well, I think some Yankee fans fired him after game one.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the real fan that's thinking about, like, the full long-term health of this team.
So, I will give you my answer, and I know
not the emotional fan who's just reacting to a moment.
I get it, and I try to do this with my teams as well. In the moment, there's a lot of thinking about the offseason. I think that's crazy. The offseason isn't here yet. We have months to think about the offseason or thinking about the manager's future. I can't do that in the middle of a series. But what I can tell you is this, Tiki. If the Yankees get swept by the L.A. Dodgers, the sense I'm getting from Yankee fans is that this is, despite it being the World Series, is going to be exactly the same as 2022.
Yeah.
Where, they got to the ALCS, but it was not nearly good enough. They feel like they're a million miles away, and to many, the manager isn't good enough. So if the Yankees lose tonight, and I got to be honest, I'm all over the place about what I think is going to happen tonight. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But if they lose tonight, I think the majority of Yankee fans tomorrow and Friday and Thursday and Friday, they're going to demand the manager get fired.
Yeah.
They're going to say they're not close, he's not good enough.
They're close. There's things that happen in this series that are going to make you question his ability to win this series.
2003 Red Sox lost Game 7 ALCS. We know what we remember that for. That was for Aaron Boone hitting the home run to win it. What's it remembered for in Boston, Evan?
Keeping Pedro Martinez in way too long. It cost Grady Little his job.
Okay. Yeah. Red Sox made it that far, questioned one move on what lost them the series, amongst other stuff that happened throughout the year. Grady Little wasn't back the very next year. They upgraded with Terry Francona. They win a World Series. Sometimes the teams that really, really, really dig deep and want to win championships got to make uncomfortable decisions.
Right. Even Are if you that saying you're going to want to fire Boone if they lose tonight? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Wow. Mm. Okay.
I'm sorry. And I like Aaron Boone, manager, man, all of it. Game one, if they get swept tonight, will remain unforgivable for the rest of my life.
I respect that. Do me a favor, whether you're Sean or any other Yankee fan, if that's what you're going to be feeling tomorrow, that's fine. Please come with a replacement. Don't come with
fire
Boone. You got to come with, and this is where I'm pivoting.
And tell me who you want.
Joe Girardi.
Oh, my God. I didn't ask you for it right now.
Well, I gave it to you. I thought about it for the last couple hours.
Yeah, okay, what's the likelihood that that happens?
Slim to none.
Exactly.
But you're asking me, you're not asking Cash.
So come with B.
Yeah. You know what?
Carlos Beltran.
You know what it reminds me of? Okay, that's a little bit better.
That's better.
You know what that reminds me of, T?
What's that?
And Joe Girardi accomplished a lot. Yankee fans and Jet fans saying, I need to fire my coach. Let me go get the last coach or manager that I had success. Like Rex Ryan with Jet fans. Bring him in. Let's go to Tom in Westport.
What's it going
to
hurt?
Yeah. What does it mean? Tom's in Westport. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good, man.
Good. Tiki went to the game last night. EB, there and back. So wanted to call that out there. Listen, I think the issue, and it's relevant because it's what you guys were just talking about Boone. I mean, the issue with both Cashman and Boone, I'm surprised we're not talking as much about Cashman, is he has spent $3.5 billion in payroll over these past 14 seasons. And let's be honest, like they're probably not going to win the World Series this year. So, in that time, we talked a lot about the Dodgers and how, they fall short. They're about to win their second World Series in the last 5 years. Like, Boone and Cashman are the problem. Boone has lost twice to the Red Sox, twice to the Astros, is about to lose to the guy on the NL side of things who's basically been the epitome of falling short and not being able to get it done. Aaron Boone's making Dave Roberts look like an all-time manager in this series. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it is Boone and Cashman. And I think the best thing that's happening for Cashman is how poorly Aaron Judge is doing because he's going to go spend another $300 million next year. And do we really think anything's going to be different? Look at this lineup.
But Tom, your criticism, think about what you're saying. If Aaron Judge was Aaron Judge, what would we be talking about right now? Wouldn't the Yankees probably be up in this series?
Definitely.
So then he did build a good enough team.
I mean, think about how close the game. I mean, it feels like they've just gotten blown out because of how you feel.
Right, but that's not true.
That's not the case. These games have been close. I mean, you talked about Cashman saying, well, we're four wins away from a World Series. Right, they're a couple runs away from a World Series when you think about it.
But, like, saying Aaron Judge is the greatest excuse for Brian Cashman, well, wait a second. If Aaron Judge was Aaron Judge, what would we be saying right now? We'd be in the middle of a World Series in which the Yankees may be leading.
Yeah.
So doesn't that prove that despite you trying to poke holes in this roster, the roster has been good enough?
It has been.
Their best player hasn't been good enough.
If Aaron Judge hit commiserate to, not commiserate, but whatever, in line with how he played in the regular season, this would be 2-1 or 1-2. Right? This series would be close. Or even, it might be flipped the entire other way.
Very well could be.
It could be 3-0. They could be playing for the World Series tonight.
It's close enough where one swing in each game would change that.
That's exactly what I mean. And game one doesn't get to extra innings.
Right.
If Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge.
Look, ultimately, and we could put a poll out there, but not yet, who do you blame the most? I know that there's a knee-jerk reaction to blame Brian Cashman. Uh-huh. Like it's the middle of May or it's the middle of February.
Yeah. He actually put together a good enough team to win a World Series.
Yeah.
It's just his best player, his captain, the icon of this current Yankees team is not performing.
He's the guy I blame the most.
You have
to. Anybody else.
Yeah, and it sucks.
Yeah, of course it sucks.
But you have to blame Aaron Judge.
He's a wonderful player, but he has come up small time after time after time. Now, the good news for Aaron Judge is that it's not over.
No.
It's October 29th. It's game four of the World Series. Go with three home runs tonight.
But it's getting late early, isn't it?
It's getting very late early, and I get why no one thinks it's going to change, but it's it could change, and for the sake of Aaron Judge, it better change. More on tonight's Yankee lineup and why it's pissed off Sean, plus your calls at 888-808-1019. Alex Rodriguez will join us in the 5 o'clock hour as well as we get you set for game four of the World Series.